You might have noticed, newspapers, TV stations, and other news outlets are dropping like flies in Canada these days. Whoops, there goes another one. But that's okay, because it leaves more room for independent media, like Rabble.ca. You can join the independent media revolution too. Go to www.rabble.ca/donate.
Asia Pacific Currents.
News and labour issues from the Asia-Pacific region.
We strongly condemn the police that arrest the protesters.
Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
On Community Radio 3CR.
Workers of the world should unite to fight this greedy capitalist.
Brought to you by Australia-Asia Worker Links. Good morning and welcome to Asia Pacific Currents this Saturday, the 10th of October. You're listening to Community Radio 3CR. I'm Giselle Hanna.
And I'm Pierre Mora, and it's great to see you back, Giselle, after your little break. The listeners really missed you last week.
I'm sure they did, because you're very hard to listen to for a whole half hour straight.
No, come on, we'll settle
this. Did anybody understand the news from around the region or not quite?
I think from the feed. The feedback was as excellent as always.
All right. Look at you backing down on your previous compliment. Well, listener, coming up on today's program, in the second part of the show, we're going to be speaking with Shivani, who is one of the union organisers in the Gurgaon region for the organisation called Bigul Mazdur Dasta. They're a trade union that organises in that industrial belt. She is the organiser in the automobile industry and also the legal advisor in that sector as well. We've been talking to you a bit about the Honda workers' dispute. Today's the 20th day of their hunger strike. So we interviewed Shivani about where that dispute is at. Of course, the Honda workers are from a different region in India, but have come into New Delhi at the height of their hunger strike.
Yes, so that will be good to hear and see how it's going. Of course, if you want more information, you can always go to our website, all the waawl.org.au, or go to Facebook as well. Well, we'll put lots of the news item that you're going to hear up tomorrow. So just on 9:03, we'll go to our first news roundup from the region, that we go to Thailand, where the this week the Thailand's immigration authorities stopped the entry and subsequently deported the Hong Kong pro-democracy activist Joshua Wong. Joshua had been invited to speak at a forum on anti-repression in Bangkok. Now, news reports confirmed that the decision to deport Joshua was taken by the governments of both countries. Now, subsequently, the interesting thing was that the head of the military junta of Thailand, Prayut Chan-o-cha, stated there had been no detention or deportation, but that Joshua Wong just flew over Thailand. I can only say they've been taking lessons from the Immigration Department of Australia in terms of doublespeak.
In New Zealand, at the start of this month, new legislation came to effect, which basically bans the importation of asbestos into that country. This is for the trade union movement. It's a bit of a victory. New Zealand have been campaigning hard to ban this hazardous substance. Unfortunately, globally, around 2 million tonnes of asbestos are produced annually, causing more than 100,000 deaths per year. As the experience of Australia shows, even once asbestos is banned, the toxic legacy of its use will continue to kill people for decades into the future. So we also need to campaign for the ongoing health and treatment of those affected by asbestos prior to its ban.
That's right. And I was just thinking, 2 million tonnes, that's actually 2 billion kilos. That's still a lot of asbestos around the world.
And, you know, there is no other than the economic reasons or the profit reasons for continue. That's the only reason that it continues to be.
That's right. That's right. And talking about reason and the profit system, we go to Bangladesh, where a recent investigating article on the events that led to the fire at the Tampaco Foils factory, where at least 34 workers protesters were killed, basically said that this was no accident, it was systemic problems that led to it. And of course, we brought you information about this file over the last few weeks. While the company was audited for its health and safety compliance a few years earlier and passed it, many problems were left unresolved. Even with recent political improvements, the Bangladeshi government lacks enforcement of regulations and laws, allows companies to avoid being held accountable. In addition, the ongoing repression of independent union leaves the workers totally vulnerable. Nevertheless, even against constant opposition, workers keep fighting, they keep looking for justice, a safe workplace and demanding a living wage. And there were a number of demonstrations around this fire.
In South Korea, workers, including the ITF's railway workers, are staging their largest public sector strike ever, beginning at the end of September. We have posted some news items about that. They are planning another massive industrial action, which is scheduled for today. The unions are fighting back against government plans that would make sackings easier and silence trade unions. For rail and other public service workers, the imposition of a discriminatory performance-related pay and termination system is part of a government attempt to further liberalise and privatise public services. The new system would have workers competing against each other and make it easier to dismiss workers. It would lower wages and undermine both job guarantees and the right of trade unions to defend their members. So they've been taking these awful actions, which have been bringing workers together right across the public and public transport sectors. Its show of strength has led to some employers cancelling suspensions, but the government has declared the rail strike illegal. Charges have been pressed against 9 union officers, while 145 officers have been suspended from their job positions in preparation for further disciplinary actions. The global union movement will fight these attacks and campaign for the rights of workers in Korea and the release of those arrested in the latest wave of anti-union repression. So you can check out what the ITF and other international global union federations are doing. But we have said this before, and I don't think it can be overstated, that the Korean unions are actually in the fight of their life at the moment. The government is hell-bent on smashing the union movement, which in our analysis, AAWL's analysis, is probably the strongest labour movement, even stronger than Australia's labour movement, in the Asia-Pacific region. So it is really important that all of us get behind those Korean workers. We can't have them taken out.
And, of course, we brought you an interview yesterday about that. So basically, just to sum up, Giselle, the public transport workers are still on strike, an indefinite strike, and I think the transport workers are going to join them next week as well. So it's certainly becoming very big. So, yes, we'll certainly hope for all the best. We go on a totally different part of Asia now. We go to Gaza, where an international solidarity ship that had left from Barcelona, Spain in mid-September, intending to bring much-needed humanitarian supplies to the people of Gaza, was hijacked in international waters by the Israeli Navy. The ship, whose crew consisted of women from a number of countries, was taken to the Israeli port of Ashdod. The intention of the activist was to break the Israeli-imposed siege of the Gaza Strip, which is having devastating social effects on the majority of the population. This is not the first time that a flotilla has tried to break the siege, and each time they've been hijacked by the Israeli Navy. Now, at the same time that this boat was being hijacked, Israel also carried out a number of bombing raids on several locations inside Gaza.
That's I struggled to recover from that story, Pierre. Thank you.
Sorry about that, Giselle. I should have given the
yeah,
warning.
Yeah, I needed a trigger warning on that. Mm. We're going now to Pakistan. PepsiCo management at the company's Frito-Lay plant in Lahore has responded to the formation and official registration of a trade union with 650 members by harassing and transferring union officers, so transferring them out of that factory, and seeking to violate the union's collective bargaining rights by creating a bogus union. So PepsiCo is actually known for this. They've done this in a couple of countries now. Since The PepsiCo Workers Union was registered and officially granted collective bargaining rights. Union officers have been targeted for disciplinary procedures on false charges, and the union president has been transferred out of the plant to prevent contact with his members. The company's registered a fake national union claiming to represent workers at two different sites in order to undercut the Lahore workers' demand for a negotiated collective agreement. Union members are being denied overtime and pressured to leave the union. A large number of workers, including women workers, have been holding protest actions at the factory gate, demanding the company cease its attack on the rights of those workers and to negotiate in good faith. We're going to post some details on our website about how you can support those workers by sending some solidarity statements.
That's right. And our last item, I don't think you've got a number eight, do you? No, our last item. Sometime we'll lose track. Sorry, folks. We go to Indonesia, where Champ Resto Indonesia, one of Indonesia's leading fast food chain, is also involved in a union busting. Now, this particular dispute started last November, where one of their workers had a newborn baby, and unfortunately they died. And so the worker then was missing for 5 days because obviously had to do family and other issues and mourning. And so also worked out they had no health insurance. So when the workers protested about this issue, the Champ Resto in Indonesia said they were not going to provide family medical coverage, and actually dismissed 83 workers immediately. Now, then they also transferred 14 other workers from the city of Bandung to Jakarta. Of course, these were all union activists. So it's continuing. The issue is continuing. The Restaurant Workers Federation of Indonesia, FSPM, is continuing the pressure, calling for the reinstatement of all the dismissed workers, full respect of trade union rights, and the inclusion of workers and their families in the government health insurance scheme. Again, you'll find tomorrow some more information about this dispute. And that's really all that we've got today on this overview of labour issues for the Asia Pacific region. We'll go to a break and then we'll be back with the interview with Shivani.
This is Irene Bolger, former Secretary of the Nurses Federation in Victoria. Throughout the nurses dispute in 1986 and the waterfront dispute in 1998, 3CR was always there, broadcasting the voices of workers in struggle.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, and we're broadcasting live from the Bay to Chicken Strike here in Melbourne.
We've just seen all of the thousands of nurses walk through to their meeting and people from different unions showing their solidarity.
3CR, radio for the workers, by the workers, since 1976.
Last night, I interviewed Shivani. She's one of the organisers in Bigul Mazdoor Dasta, and she's very well. She's organising the Honda workers dispute that we've been talking to you about over the last couple of weeks. She starts this interview by explaining where she's from and her particular role, and then we go into the history of the dispute. Here's Shivani.
I'm Shivani, and I'm from Bigul Mazdoor Dasta. And also, I am legal advisor of Automobile Industry Contract Workers Union, which is a industry-based and a sector-based union in Gurgaon, Manesar belt of automobile industry in India.
So there is a dispute at the moment in a Honda factory in the Gurgaon region, and those workers have been on a hunger strike. I think it is now the 19, almost 20 days of hunger strike.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you give us a background to the dispute and why it has culminated in a hunger strike?
Yeah, sure. This time there is a dispute at Tappu Kada plant, which is located in Rajasthan, which is a North Indian state. And the dispute actually started on 16th February this year, pertaining to the matter of a contract worker, where an engineer he forced one of the contract workers to work overtime. And this the said workers were working continuously for 4 days. So this was the immediate issue around which all the workers collectively gathered, and they raised their voice that no worker will work continuously and they won't work overtime without being paid for the overtime work. And this the said worker, he was not keeping well because of this continuously working for such long hours. So the immediate reason was this issue related to the forcible, forcibly asking a contract worker to work overtime. But actually the issue goes back to, you know, last year, August last year, when the workers at Tappukada plant, they filed for their union registration. So again, as has been very prevalent in this entire sector, most of the disputes originate around the demand for union formation. And this also, the present dispute also goes back to the issue of unionization.
So the workers are on a hunger strike. What do you think of this as a tactic to win a dispute, and how effective is it so far in progressing this dispute?
The workers, this was the last resort because they were not even allowed to peacefully assemble in Rajasthan, and Rajasthan is being governed by BJP government. Also, we have a BJP government at center. So this sort of anti-worker policy has been in effect in Rajasthan since the time BJP has come to power. So they were not left with any other option. So also they resorted to hunger strike, and also they shifted the location of their struggle to New Delhi. Because in Rajasthan, not even in Tappukada, not even in the capital, Jaipur, they were given any heed, and no attention was paid to their demand. They were brutally lathi charged. They were never allowed to peacefully assemble at any of the locations they tried to gather. So they were not left with any option, and then they finally decided to come to Delhi. So for the past 19 days, they are in Delhi at Jantar Mantar. On 19th September, they came to Delhi. They have been staying put at Jantar Mantar since then, and they are on a hunger strike. Five of the workers, among which one of the leading body members, Naresh Mehta, is on the hunger strike. So I think this, given no choice, the workers had to, tactically use such tactics, because otherwise they were not even in a position to gather and assemble peacefully. So I think as far as that thing is concerned, they have been successful in once again initiating their struggle.
Has the hunger strike caused people to lend their solidarity and support to the dispute?
Many workers' organizations and many independent unions have lent their support. But I think as far as the administration and Rajasthan as well as central government is concerned, they're still not bothered. There has been a couple of meetings with Labor Department at central level. But except for assurances, they have not given anything in concrete. They haven't given anything in writing also. But there have been organizations. For example, our organization was there since the beginning of the struggle. And when they moved their struggle's location to Delhi, we have been active. And other independent organizations and trade unions have also lent their support.
And of course, this particular factory, this workplace, is in an industrial belt. Are there similar disputes nearby, and have workers in nearby factories offered support or shared the struggle in any way?
Yes, to an extent. Actually, as far as automobile sector is concerned, many struggles are still going on, but they are not in a very active state. There is an air conditioning manufacturing unit of Daikin in Neem Rana, where workers have been agitating for similar issues. So they also lend their support to the struggle. They came to Delhi. Then there are workers from Sri Ram Piston in Bhiwadi in Rajasthan, whose struggle has been going on since last 3.5 years. A couple of workers from that factory also came and lent their support, but not in a very unified and very structured way. But yes, there is a need to build solidarity across all these myriad forms of struggles that are going on in different areas of automobile belt. And spontaneously, people are also coming together with the Honda workers. But as far as the central trade unions are concerned, they are not showing that kind of interest. That kind of intention is also missing, because most of these unions tend to get affiliated to the large and central trade unions. So that sort of intention on their part is still lacking. And as far as the present movement is also concerned, the central trade unions haven't shown that much of interest in the struggle. And also any sort of industrial action is also lacking on their part.
You mentioned some other disputes in the automobile industry. I mean, we've been following the Suzuki workers' dispute for many years now, and we know that a number of those workers have been released on bail. Are there any other developments in the Suzuki dispute?
No, still there are many workers who are behind the bars, and they have succeeded in getting their fellow workers released, but then the entire focus of the movement shifted from the original demands, which were pertaining to reinstatement of workers, and now the entire struggle, and you can't, it's not a very unified sort of thing that is happening. There are a couple of people who are legally pursuing the matter. So now, in a way, they have been successful in getting most of their co-workers released, but still around 17 or 20 workers are behind the bars, and they're still trying to get them out of the jail.
The situation overall sounds very dire, and when we are in struggle constantly, sometimes it can be easy to question whether our methods are successful and if we are going to break through. Can you see the possibility of a resolution to the Honda dispute that is favourable to the workers?
As far as the specific movement is concerned, actually, there have been a lot of things that have taken place in the past. When workers moved their base to Delhi, they also launched a boycott Honda campaign, in which they have been appealing to the common citizens to boycott the products which are being manufactured in the said Tapukada plant of Honda. So, such a step is a tactical sort of a move, because as far as taking the struggle ahead in industrial belt is concerned, there is still no breakthrough in sight. So not in a very certain terms one can predict what is going to happen with this movement. But yes, of late, most of the struggles in this belt has pointed out to one certain fact, that As long as the movements are separated in their different factory floor struggles, the chances of a, you know, breakthrough kind of situation are very meager, very few. So a very concerted cross-sectoral action and a union formation on the lines of sector, which is the case in other countries also, where there are industry-based union and such joint operations are conducted, in which the collective bargaining of workers tend to increase. This sort of thing is still lacking in India. And the union I'm affiliated with is precisely trying to achieve this sort of success, in which all the workers, whether they are working in Honda, whether they are working in Maruti, Ricoh, or any small, big vendor company, they are united on the basis of a sector-based union. As long as this does not come into existence, the chances seem very meager of, you know, immediate wins of such struggles. But yes, still, as far as Honda movement is concerned, workers are still fighting back. And tactically, they have come up with this idea of boycotting the product. But industrial-based solidarity is still missing.
3CR programs provide information and analysis you won't hear in the mainstream.
Today we'll be looking at the legacy of the US war on Vietnam on Laos.
And as far as corporate capitalism is concerned, it is the worst political and economic system that you can have.
Our laws about jailing refugees and asylum seekers are so well crafted.
Sex is not irrelevant, and we like who we are, but we don't have to be imprisoned by our gender.
Become a subscriber today. Call us on 9419 8377 or visit 3cr.org.au. 3CR, the voice of dissent.
27 minutes past 9 o'clock here on Community Radio 3CR. You're listening to Asia Pacific Currents. That was Shivani Kaur from Bigul Mazdoor Dasta discussing the Honda workers dispute in India. As Pierre's mentioned a couple of times, myself and another comrade from AAWL will be travelling to India. We'll be meeting with those Honda workers and the Suzuki workers, and so we'll be able to bring you some more reports, and that's happening towards the end of November.
And that's really the end of the program that we have. We've got two quick announcements, a bit of an early announcement for something that's happening not next week, but the week after. That's for our people in Australia know that Anti-Poverty Week is in mid-October. Well, the National Union of Workers is having a demonstration called the Fluoro Fight Back to protest against casualisation and precarious work, and basically for the role of trade unions to eradicate poverty. So that's the 22nd of October at 8:30 in the morning at Southern Cross.
There is also the 46th anniversary of the collapse of the Westgate Bridge, and there will be a memorial service organised by the CFMEU. So on Saturday the 15th of October, we will gather again to remember Australia's worst industrial accident, its victims and the brave workers who risked everything to recover the dead and the hurt. It's the 46th anniversary of the collapse that claimed 35 lives. 18 workers survived. Some of those workers returned to work on to rebuild the bridge. The commemoration will begin at 11:30 on Saturday the 15th, and the ETU Victorian Secretary will address families and friends. The Westgate Memorial site is beneath a bridge in Douglas Parade in Spotswood.
And that's really the end of the program that we have for you today. That's all that we have. Stay tuned to 3CR Radio and Asia Calling's coming up in a couple of minutes. But Asia Pacific Currents is brought to you by Australia-Asia Worker Links. My name is Pierre Morrow.
And I'm Giselle Hannah.
And we'll be back next week.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.